You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. Today, at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about the embarrassing loss to the Warriors and Edmund Sumner's debut as a starter. But first, we got a game tonight. Got the Washington Wizards in D.C. And here to talk Wizards for me, I don't know, the perfect place to start his introduction, Michael Sykes, Bullets Forever, All-Star, Axios Sports lead man. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
What are you not getting into these days, dude? I should have asked you what you wanted your title to be there.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I guess Axios Sports Reporter works, but like, I don't know how people know me anymore. So
verified on Twitter. That's how I know you.
Oh my God.
So you've been around the team a ton this year, and the Wizards have, I don't want to say turmoil, cause I don't believe that is the correct word, but they have a lot of storylines around them. Maybe that they don't deserve, but they have a lot of storylines around them. Some being chemistry related, some being they have a very overrated superstar related, a lot of them being contractually related. Either way, there seems to be a lot of outside tension around this team affecting their performance. How does it feel to be around this team this year? Does it feel like negative at all? Does it seem like something is wrong, or is it just like they're not playing as good as they can be?
It has been absolutely miserable. And that is like, that is probably the most courteous way I can put it. Like, and it honestly hasn't been the team. It's just been the discussion that's around the team. Like, the players on the team are fine. Like, they understand that they're not in a great place. They're a bad team, and they want to win games. But, like, the conversation around the team, especially since John Wall went down, is, like, should they tank? Should they not tank? Are they dumb for not tanking? Because they're clearly not tanking. Bradley Beal is probably going to be an all-star at some point here. What should they do with him? Who should be traded? Whose head should roll? And why is Ernie Grunfeld still making these decisions? Like, there's so many questions surrounding this team that, like, nobody has the answers to.
And yet, here they sit at 8-5 in January, it looks like. So, clearly something has kind of clicked. I know my boy, Indiana University legend, Thomas Bryant, has really found a niche on this team. Talk to me about Thomas Bryant and how much he's been a part of the success of this team this year, because I know it was kind of weird, at least for me, to see when Dwight Howard went down that they went to Bryant instead of Mahinmi, but that apparently is the correct move.
It was definitely the right move. It was definitely the right move to make when they made it. I thought that was the smart thing to do. Like, Mahinmi had just not been, he hadn't looked right all season long. He's been slow. Everyone was excited about the, I think, what, 2 3-pointers that he hit in the first week of the season. I don't think he's hit one since. And Thomas Bryant is just like a constant force of energy for them, right? Like, he never stops moving. He always does his job, doesn't try to play outside of his role. When he tries to play outside of his role, he's not that good at it, which is probably a good thing for a team where, like, the main issue with this team is that no one really knows what their role is. And when people come in, they feel like their role is probably a bit more than what it should be. And Thomas Bryant is kind of the antithesis of that, where he's like, just, okay, I'm going to set screens, I'm going to roll hard, I'm going to play defense, I'm going to finish at the basket. And it's worked out. He's become a really good player for the Wizards.
He's making me feel dumb for thinking Gortat was so important when Thomas Bryant can do the same things at the same level. Gortat was my man last year. I was so sad they traded him, but
it's so crazy because, like, I don't think you were wrong in that. Like, Gortat is still super important for this team, but I guess it's not. It just shows you, like, it's not necessarily Gortat. It's what Gortat was willing to do and what he was good at, right? Like, it's the screens that he sets. It's finishing at the basket even when he's not dunking. It's being in the right spaces at the right times on defense, like. If you don't have that, then, you know, your team's not going to be good. And honestly, I feel like if they had Gortat, to start the season, they probably would have gotten off to a much better start, and they wouldn't be where they are right now.
Well, Austin Rivers contributed so much to this team.
Oh my God. I cannot tell you the amount of times like I've counted this dude just shooting the ball over the rim on a quarter three, and now he's in Houston and he looks amazing, and it's just like where was this?
Playing up James Harden is really easy.
Yeah, you just gotta sit there and wait.
What 3-point percentage do you think you personally could shoot being the small forward playing with James Harden?
I think I could at least get to 33.
I get a third of them.
Yeah.
You'd be wide open every possession down the floor.
Exactly. No one's guarding me. No one's guarding me for good reason.
Yeah, because I'm not an NBA player. I'm gonna throw your least favorite anecdote at you if you're ready.
Sure.
All right. John Wall goes down. Team starts to win. Everybody loves making fun of the Wizards for everybody eats and somehow being good when this supposedly amazing player, which he got the Supermax for a reason, goes down. Why does this happen? This is the second year in a row. Right after Wall went down, this team found something that worked. Is this like actually anything, or is this just like convenient narrative and timing overlapping?
I honestly think it's a little bit of both. Like, there's definitely the team plays differently without John Wall, and they have to, because like there's not a guy on the roster who can hold the ball and make decisions and actually make productive plays out of those decisions while holding the ball. Like that's a skill in the NBA, and a skill that a lot of people don't really have. Without John Wall, they pass the ball a lot more. The offense is way more egalitarian, and everyone kind of thrives off of that, especially dude like Otto Porter, right? Who is like the first guy who comes up when like people talk about the problems with John Wall and the style that he plays, right? Like it keeps the ball out of Otto Porter's hands. So, I mean, we have that, but then there's also the fact that like John Wall was playing on a busted leg. He has season-ending heel surgery, which is a pretty big deal, right? Like I wouldn't want to be out there playing NBA games on a busted heel, and you can actually see it when he plays. Like there were instances, like I don't remember the exact date, but like the game actually where he scored 2 points on Colin Sexton, right, where he looked absolutely terrible. Like there were moments where like the ball's just right in front of him, and he literally just cannot get the ball. He can't get down low enough to get the ball. You could tell he was just hobbling, right? And so like when you have a dude out there that really shouldn't be out there but just insists on playing, your defense is going to suffer. When you get a body that can actually move and do things out there, it's going to be better. That's just what it is. That's just how the actual human body works, right?
Right.
So I mean, yeah, I think there are a lot of problems with John Wall, with the Wizards, and like I don't think it's like people aren't insane for saying that, like for suggesting that he should be traded or that this team could potentially be better without him. I don't think that's insane either, because like I think you have the problem of John Wall holds the ball a lot, which I don't think is necessarily a problem, but like if he's not good, if he's not healthy, then like that's terrible offense. And then you have John Wall continues to get hurt, right? This is the second year in a row where like he's had a terrible leg injury, and part of that is because this dude is like way heavier than he should be, because he only strength trains in the off season instead of, you know, it's like putting diesel fuel in a Ferrari. Like your strength is speed. Like why are you building muscle to be LeBron James? Like that's not you.
Right? I think it was second to last game of the season was against the Pacers, and he was hobbled and he went 1-for-7 with 7 turnovers, and they lost by 16. And I was like, well, something is wrong with this dude.
Yeah, man. Like it's just that's the problem. And like if the Wizards don't feel like that's something that can be fixed, or they feel like he's damaged goods at this point, then like you need to figure out a way to get off of that contract, because it is probably the most untradeable contract in the league right now.
It's pretty dang close. It is, yeah. Pretty close. I would like a good point guard in Indiana, and John Wall is extremely available, and I don't want him. So that says a lot about it. Speaking of Indiana, we kind of brushed on last game just now. But the difference between the last Wizards-Pacers game and this one is no Oladipo and no John Wall. That's pretty huge. Yeah, it's going to be Interesting. No, DeMatha graduate, Victor Oladipo, on this one. Get that out of the way for you, Wizard.
Shout out to Jake. A lot of people forget that.
No, it's Jake Whitaker's favorite joke, man. It's so fun. what do you expect in this game? The Pacers just got completely smoked by the Warriors. They lost the Grizzlies in Memphis Saturday. Those are their two games without Oladipo. Meanwhile, the Wizards look okay. Do you feel like they – I think they're on a back-to-back, though. Is that correct? They are
– yeah. They're playing the Cavs on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
What
do you think of their – what do you think this game's going to look like? An even game? Wizards got any upper hands here?
I mean, the obvious upper hand is that Oladipo is out, right? And, like shout-out to Vic because that just makes me sad. Like, I don't even I'm getting sad right now. Shout out to Pacers Twitter. You guys were just on my timeline. It was so bad. But no, I guess like that's the obvious advantage, right? But like the Pacers are still a really good, really well coached team that is always going to play hard. Right. And so like when you have a team like that that's going up against a team like the Wizards that, you know, their effort is sometimes questionable. You know,
very diplomatic.
Yeah, very, very diplomatic, right? that's the thing. Like, you can catch this team on an off night and blow them out, right? Like, it hasn't happened lately, and they've played a lot of poor teams. Outside of like the Thunder, the 76ers, and the Bucks without Giannis, where those are like really good wins, but like other than that, they've won games that you kind of expect them to win. And, like, I guess you would expect them to win this one without Vic on the floor. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, you can't really trust this Wizards team to do anything right. Like, they almost blew a 20-point lead to the Magic the other night. So, like, anything's possible.
I saw that. I was keeping up with the Wizards on Instagram, and they had two back-to-back posts on my timeline. One was the end of the third quarter score, and one was the end of the fourth quarter score. And I was like, whoa.
It was bad. We like Wizards Twitter got together at
We'll be talking to Becca tomorrow night, I think.
Shout out to Becca because she believes in this team for some reason wholeheartedly still, and I don't know. I guess I'm the downer of Wizards Twitter now because like the entire game, even when they were up 20, I'm like, yo, they're going to lose. Like, this is going to happen. Paris Ross is going to go off and something's going to go wrong. And I was so close to being right.
Last year I was the Pacers pessimist. And then I thought they got better when they got Tariq and had a year together. And now I'm an optimist and everyone else is a pessimist. And it's weird. That's how it works, man. It's hard to be the happy guy.
Yeah.
It's easier to be the sad guy.
That's
it's easier to just be like, oh, the Warriors won the title. We're done here. So we do this weekly show, me and Adam, my co-host, do where we look ahead at the week ahead and kind of talk about, you know, what we think of as at a cursory glance of other teams. Obviously, my Wizards glance is a little more than cursory, but it's easy to comment and look and say, oh, my gosh, they are A, playing Ariza, Beal, and Satoransky crazy high minutes, and B, they're doing that because – their current bench guards are Chasen Randall and Jordan McRae, which is just a recipe for complete utter disaster. On a back to back like this, am I wrong to think that is a weakness that they play big minutes and will have a weaker than normal guard and wing defense due to tired legs?
That is 100% a weakness on this team, and I honestly don't think that it should be because my biggest issue with the team this entire season, even amid like all the struggle and the angst and the injuries and everything, is that Troy Brown just can't play, dude. Like, they don't play him. And it's not because he's not a good player. It's not because he hasn't shown improvement. Like, he's clearly a better player than what he was. But like, Troy Brown Jr. just doesn't really get minutes. Like, we see Chasen Randle, we see Sam Decker. Dude, if we see Gary Payton II before Troy Brown, I might explode. Like, but there is a legitimate possibility that could happen, right? And like it just doesn't feel like they should. This team should be a lot deeper than it is, and part of that is the system that they play being so, I don't know, it's just old and outdated, and it doesn't put players in their best position, but a lot of it is also on Scott Brooks just not getting guys the minutes that they should actually have, right? Like Sam Decker played one good game against the Lakers and has earned a rotation spot for the rest of the season, right?
Hey, like he was good in that Pacers game. That he led a nice comeback in that third quarter.
Okay, two games. This dude wasn't even in the league. Like they signed Ron Baker and played him before Troy Brown Jr. And Ron Baker's not even on the team anymore. It's bad. It's really bad.
All right. Ron Baker, man, that's
funny. Shout out to Ron Baker though.
that contract he got with the Knicks was the funniest thing I think ever.
It was hilarious.
First day of free agency, full room exception, player option, doesn't play. It's kind of shocking to me how little Troy Brown plays. One, because I was kind of high on him pre-draft. Actually, I was hoping he would fall to the Pacers, mostly because I like wings. But like Aaron Holiday's the fifth guard on the Pacers, who have the fifth best record in the NBA, and he has over 300 minutes. Like, how does Troy Brown not even have cracked 200 when he is probably the third best guard in theory right now, or third like most important guard right now with Wall out like this? It blows my mind.
Dude, it doesn't make any sense. Like, he can literally step into at least three roles on this team, and he's just not playing.
What do you think of the Miles Turner, DeMontis Sabonis combination and how it plays against the Wizards? As a team that rocks two less than stellar centers, are you envious of a two front court combo, or do you not really care as much because the center position is not as important anymore?
I can't believe you're asking me this question. Am I envious? Yes, dude. Like, what? Like,
Maybe that was the wrong word.
Like, the Wizards haven't had a center that could like jump 2 inches off the ground in decades. I feel like since like Wes Unseld was chucking balls down court, right? Like,
Eaton Thomas could get up a bit.
Okay, I guess.
He's
if we want to call that getting up. Like, okay, I felt like he was just tall, but you know, but I mean, those are two great big men, right? Like Sabonis, especially, is like incredible offensively. Like, I feel like I've never seen him miss a shot. He's an incredible he's an incredible passer. You know, he just does literally everything that you could want a big man to do. And Miles Turner, the last two games against the Pacers, like, he's dominated the Wizards. Like, he's looked like defensive player of the year, Miles Turner. And like, even if those are the only two games that I could see a Wizards big man, if the Wizards could have those two games from Miles Turner and that would be it for out of the 82 game season, I would take that, because like that is the maximum performance that we'll get out of Thomas Bryant. And like, shout out to Thomas Bryant because he's pretty good, but like, he's not coming close to that.
Do you want a Sabonis stat?
Yeah, give it to me.
Pacers have played 49 games this year. Sabonis has shot under 50% in only 9.
Oh my god, he's never missed a shot. I don't believe that because he's never missed a shot.
that Knicks game, the Pacers' first national TV game of the year, and he goes for like 30 and 13 without missing. And I was like, oh man, the narratives are about to go wild.
Yep. I'm going crazy right now. That is exactly why.
All right, so let's get grittier. Let's get even grittier. What do the Wizards do to win this game? What is their path to success against a team that you have admitted will be trying harder than them?
Playing hard, dude. Like, that's it. Like, if you can match the Pacers' effort, right, and like Bradley Beal can get going, you know, I feel like that's the bar is pretty low because Vic is out, honestly. And that's kind of it. Like, I would like to see Otto Porter get involved a little bit more. I want his offense to look good. But I don't know. Like, I don't feel like it'll take too much. But I don't think this Wizard team gives you much at all very often. So like, the bar is low. The bar is very low, as you can tell.
When your bar of how you win a game is try. And you're a professional.
Like, I don't know. Like, you obviously have to defend, right? Like, you've got to defend Bogdanović. Shout out to him for being so good this year.
Yeah, he was great on the Wizards.
Yeah, he was really good. Like,
it was amazing.
I didn't want him to go, but it was the right move. Obviously, like, Thad Young is also a problem for the Wizards. Like, I don't. Thad Young is a certified Wizards killer. I don't shout out to whoever on Wizards Twitter invented the certified Wizards killer, but
that it had to be Kevin. It had to be Kevin.
I do feel like it's Kevin.
You know how many funny things Kevin has invented?
So many. Brim is a legend. He's a legend.
He is. I need to get him on here.
Yeah. You definitely should have got Brim before me. I don't know why I'm here.
You got the check, no, Mike. But,
okay, that's what it is. That's what it is. No, but that Young is excellent. He's been excellent for you guys this year, on both ends of the floor. And like, I feel like the Wizards don't really have a good answer for him. They never really have. The Wizards have also been going super, super small in these last few games. They played Otto Porter at center against the Warriors. Wow. And the Magic. Yeah, it was nuts. It wasn't good. so if we see that again against the Pacers, like, they're gonna get crushed.
Sabonis might have 25 rebounds.
He might. I can see it happening. That's also this Wizards team is actually the worst rebounding team ever. Literally.
Ooh, let me check on that one.
Dude, okay.
You go ahead and check. Game 30th. You are correct. Last. Yeah. Dead last.
Worst rebounder team ever.
Holy moly. 41 a game. That's horrible.
In league history.
Wait, is that accurate? Ever?
Yes. I'm not joking.
Oh my god.
Joking. They are terrible, dude. Like, it's really bad. And so that's another thing that they've gotta do against the Pacers will kill you on the glass if you let them. And the Wizards will let them. So if they can put bodies on the right guys and gang rebound, then maybe things will go right tomorrow. But I don't know.
Wow. You know what's weird is the Pacers are 25th in total rebounds per game, but because their pace is so slow, they're only giving up the second fewest. So that's the Wizards are over under 32.5 rebounds for the Wizards.
I say over.
Okay.
I'll go over.
Good. You heard it first. A lot of misses in this game, Mike.
A lot of misses. I mean, the Wizards have one play that they're going to run for
Bradley. Throw to Brad. Yeah,
throw to Brad. Brad, come off this curl and do something.
All right, here we go. Let's talk Brad, but not the way you want to talk Brad. Vic's out, and Brad is – you can see me. No one else can see me, though. He's available. I did air quotes for those of you who are wondering what just happened. What would you want from Indiana for Bradley Beal? A lot. I know the answer is that.
Yeah, the answer is definitely a lot, but a lot definitely includes Sabonis.
Okay. Yes, I expected that. I can rip that Band-Aid off.
I would also. I'm really high on Aaron Holiday, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know how Pacers Twitter feels about him, but like every time I watch him, he's doing something super athletic and something that not a lot of other guards can do. So I'm really into him. I would want him, and maybe like a, I don't know, some type of future pick, I guess.
What's your salary filler here? Actually, who cares?
I was going to say I do need salary filler, but like you guys, like there's not, you guys don't really have like a terrible contract, do you?
No. The worst contract on the team is Doug McDermott.
Throw him in there. Throw him in there. Bring him over. Come on, Doug. Let's get him. Let's get him in.
The worst contract on the team is Doug at 3.2. Isn't that crazy? Like, that insane GM work right there.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Kevin Pritchard, man.
Like awkward kind of future with 7 expiring contracts, but that's insane.
Dude, no, like, yeah, man.
The anti-Ernie.
Done an amazing job with this team. Yeah, like,
he really has.
The foresight to know that, like he didn't even have to know that Oladipo was going to be great or that Sabonis would never miss a shot. Like, you're still just great as far as, like, your cap flexibility and what you can do with this team. Like, and also shout out to him for knowing that Oladipo was going to be great, because I definitely didn't.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, I remember.
Tony remembers.
Yeah. I remember you.
You remember. for those of you wondering, like, I was the biggest Oladipo skeptic ever.
Mike killed the trade. I was low on the trade, and I had to go bad for the Pacers then. Even you made me feel like I had to come up to the
point. And you were right. You and Kevin Pritchard, you guys were right.
No, I was wrong. I do not deserve any credit for that. I basically said they got two starters under 25 years old. That's fine.
And I was like, no, these guys are awful. They're both awful.
And now you want one of them.
I want one of them on my team.
Okay, we've shot enough shit and talked enough Wizards and Pacers. Give me the official Mike Sykes sponsored Bolts Forever Axios sponsored prediction for the final score of this game.
I am going 109-101 Pacers.
Ooh.
Shout out to the tank. The tank is strong.
Break out the World War II tank, the Vietnam War tank, the tank, all of the tanks. All of the tanks. Well, here's the problem with tanking this year to me. We'll just do a little off-the-cuff talking here. Like, if you don't get Zion, there's some other okay dudes, but, like.
I like a lot of them, honestly. Like, there's not another, like, blue chipper, I don't think. Maybe RJ Barrett is, but I honestly don't know, like, what his – I don't have a good NBA comp for him. Like, he plays, like, Russell Westbrook and, like –
Oh, he was – if he was Russ, dude, I would think he's good enough to go number two. I think he's, like – I don't even have a guy for this. I need to think of a guy for this. I got nothing. I really can't. Zach LaVine.
Yeah, that's actually not a terrible comp.
Zach LaVine. I don't think.
Yeah, like he's super athletic and like makes smart plays sometimes, but most of the time he's just a black hole, and not like that concerns me. That concerns me a lot. But like
best outcome of tanking this year.
Which, like, I'm okay with that. Like, tanking is not an exact science, right? Like, you're gonna hit, you're gonna miss. Is what it is. Like, my thing is, like,
sometimes you get Joel Embiid, sometimes you get Ja Okafor. It is what it is.
Or you just draft Anthony Bennett number one.
Okay.
The Cavaliers.
But one of my favorite things is the bogus reports coming out 5 years later of all the GMs, like, oh, we weren't even gonna pick Anthony Bennett in a lottery. I'm like, okay. No,
sure.
You can't do that now. Yeah.
Wow.
Just because the Cavs bit the bullet doesn't mean you can look all smart half decade later. Unbelievable. All right, Mike, I appreciate you coming on. Tell people where they can follow you and the many places you do great things.
For sure, man. Follow me on Twitter at Mike D. Sykes, and go subscribe to my newsletter at Axios.com.
Yeah, Axios Break into the Sports with Mike being one of the leaders. The pioneers is a better word. Pioneers on that, which is awesome.
Yeah, man. We're out here.
Recommended. Highly recommended.
Sporting it up.
Thank you, guys. Now we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk Warriors and Edmund Sumner, so stick around. Welcome back, and I know I hate that I have to talk about this game, but let's talk Pacers-Warriors and then just talk Edmund Sumner the rest of the time because, okay, like people were in like mild panic mode on Twitter during this game, and I just don't get that at all. The Warriors have one of the best defenses in the league. They have the best offense in the league. They are one of, if not the best team of all time, and they smoked the Pacers. What did you honestly expect would happen in this game? They started four All-Stars. Like, the team is incredible. So that's my little rant there. They hung with them for a little. The Pacers had it, I think, 16-16. Darren Collison at three. And it was like 5:30 to go in the first quarter at that point. And then 2 minutes left, they were down 15. Like, the Warriors just exploded all of a sudden. And I didn't really feel like on – okay, so – here are some of the buckets I remember during that explosion when they went on a 16-1 run. Sumner lost Curry on a little shimmy on a screen. It's a young kid getting killed by Steph Curry's movement. That's bad. Yeah, okay. You lose that one. Then Curry just dribbled down the court and just pulled up from 30 feet and drilled it. Nothing wrong with the D there. Then Curry scrambled on a loose ball, perfectly contested three in the corner, drilled it. Then Kevin Durant missed a shot, got the rebound, and put it right back in. I don't feel like the Pacers did a ton wrong on D during the stretch. It's just like the Warriors have so many guys, and this is why, this is part of it at least, why they're so good. It's just like they just break you. Like, even when you play them perfectly, it's just like, oh, boom, boom, we scored. Okay. And then after they got hot, you know, the Pacers are guys with pride. They're like, I don't want this guy to score on me, right? So they turn a little bit more attention to guarding, you know, Curry, who finished with 26 on 13 shots without taking a free throw. Like, think about how crazy that is. And Durant, who finished with 16, you know, they start to zero in on these guys more. And then all of a sudden, Jordan Bell's got wide open cuts. He was 4 or 5 from the field. And Boogie's open on the pick and roll. He had 22 points on just 12 shots. And, like, Kevon Looney playing center gets open on these cuts. He had 15 points on 7 shots. Like, pride almost got in their way, which was insane. But I mean, once you are down 15 to the Warriors, you just lose because they're the best team ever, and that was that. So they got smoked by a really good team that I wanted to talk about. But the Pacers, Miles Turner deserved more talking about from this game and the Memphis game, because when he touches the ball, good things are happening, and they're happening a lot. He has taken 3 different dudes off the dribble in these 2 games. He waved off Darren Collison and took it to the hole and scored. He's doing some great stuff. If he even hit one of his 3s in this game, he would have gone 8 of 12 with 19 points, as well as 6 rebounds. I think you have to have a guy who, like, isn't a center as your lead ball handler. Like, every team needs, you know, someone to handle the ball that isn't your big. Because bigs aren't really, like, dribbling play initiators, right? This discussion was had on Twitter today with, like, Damian Lillard versus Anthony Davis, which is unrelated, but it's just, like, the reason the Blazers are able to be good without a guy at Anthony Davis' level is because Dame is such a good ball handler every possession. The Pacers have Bojan to do that, but Turner should not have a lower usage than Bojan. I think Bojan should be kind of your initiator, key play finisher in these Novik times, but I think more possessions need to be focused on Turner at this point of his development. As we can see, he can take guys off the dribble. He's finishing a lot of jumpers. He's impacting the game in multiple ways, especially with his elite defense. I think he has to play more than 26 minutes, although I get that this was a blowout and, you know, a lot of guys played obscure minutes. I think he needs more than 26 minutes, more than 12 shots. Just, I go, like, I'm cool with him and Bojan both taking similar amounts of shots. It's just, I think Turner needs a few more. Maybe rip some away from, like, Edmund Sumner should not be taking 10 shots, which I'll talk about him momentarily. And I don't think any of his 10 shots were necessarily bad, including a lot of them being garbage time, but that 10's a lot. So the rest of the Pacers, nobody really did anything that I was like, wow. Sabonis, like I just said with Mike, had his 9th game, shooting under 50%, 3 of 8. This was probably his actually worst game of the season. Not kidding. 6 points and 5 rebounds in 19 minutes. A lot of fouls. The Warriors really took advantage of him. He had 2 turnovers, 2 tied for the team high. I'm sorry, Darren Collison had 3, tied for 2nd highest on the team. So really a game to forget for Sabonis. Meanwhile, Aaron Holiday hit 4 or 5 from 3. Very memorable game for the kid, who's really showing some confident stuff off the dribble. He is special, and I'm excited to watch him play more and more as the season goes along. Other than that, nobody I'm really going to talk about. Devon Reed hit his first shot as a Pacer. That's that. And a lot of garbage time in this game with no key takeaways. I mean, you're playing against the Warriors C team for the entire 4th quarter. Like Marcus Derrickson, their 2-way player, got 8 minutes. Like, I don't think he's played 8 minutes in a game this whole season. So that's that. So I'm going to choose the rest of this time in the segment normally I talk about the game to talk about Edmund Sumner. Because he went from 2-way player to starting in, like, a week. he had him and Devon Reed were on kind of a schedule of, like, who's going to be in Fort Wayne and who's going to be in the pros. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, Edmund Sumner's starting against the Golden State Warriors. And I thought it was going to be Corey Joseph, who quietly did not play very well off bench. But it was Sumner, and it was a tale of 2 sides of the ball. So Sumner's super athletic. He's 6'6". In preseason, you saw how good he can be for those of you that kept up with the team early when they didn't matter during football season, but those were fun games. He was really good and showed us a lot of what he can be. That leads me to be excited about his future. Then these kind of games happen, you know, where he – and this is tough not to – it's tough, like, not to blame him. Like, he airballed his first 3. He clearly had some jitters. But the tough for me to blame him part is like they run slightly different sets in Fort Wayne and with the Pacers. So, you know, I think the Fort Wayne one is more about it's they don't have a Sabonis and Turner, right? They don't have the option to play through the post as much. They run a lot more guard action. You know, Caitlin Cooper just wrote a piece about Edmund Sumner's awesome play in Fort Wayne. And, you know, there's an Iverson cut. The Pacers never do Iverson cuts. For those of you who don't know, that's basically cutting across the top of the key with screeners at both elbows. Which the screeners aren't even necessary, but the guys at the elbows are, you know, what gets the guy open. Anyway, it's just a little different and more perimeter heavy and oriented. And, you know, Sumner does not know the Pacers scheme as well. So in this game, they stuck him in the corner a lot because they were like, you don't know what you're doing. Just kind of space the floor. He took three threes. He missed all of them, which it is what it is. That's just jitters. Aaron Holiday is only three in his first game playing major minutes for the Pacers, which I think it was the first game of the season. He had jitters and chucked up his first three and missed so bad that it banked in. And he said he did not mean to do that. He told me that it was just jitters. So pretty interesting stuff for Sumner in terms of the offense to see him make. You know, once he learns the plays, I think he'll be vastly more effective. You know, he did have some nice cuts to the rim. He dunked one, so it was his only basket. But overall, not a great offensive performance. Defense, though. Durant missed the only shot Durant had when guarded by Sumner. Klay Thompson was 3 for 7 with a turnover when guarded by Sumner. Outside of that, he only had 5 misses in like the rest of his entire game. He looked good on D. He can guard good players. He made Klay Thompson miss a lot. He made Kevin Durant miss. Curry cooked him twice. But you know, he looked okay on D, and I think that his athleticism and his length will allow him to be good even, you know, without the NBA level instincts just yet. So that's good. That's encouraging because it was announced today that the upcoming road trip, including this Wizards game, he's going to be starting because Tyreke Evans is back, still bugging him, which is probably from that car crash, but we don't really know what that's from. So we'll have to keep an eye on that going forward. But yeah, Sumner's going to keep starting. So his next task, Bradley Beal. We'll see how that one goes for him. But I liked his D. His O could use some work. But once he gets more of the sets down, I think he'll be better on the end of the floor. Thank you guys for tuning in to today's Locked On Pacers podcast. I will be back tomorrow with Adam to talk about the Wizards and talk a little Magic and Heat, which is fun. And then there might be a segment with Becca from Locked On Wizards too, because we're going to talk about this game. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and have a great rest of your day.